I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
We have got a conversation with 2 young founders of a company called Seraphim Valora. They shot to fame by putting the first ever AI model into vogue in an industry where you would think maybe not particularly known high fashion for its bravery and advancement of things like technology. They caused quite a stir. We interviewed them on the weekly podcast that I do with my co-host George Butler. We're going to talk to them again now, months down the line, and see where they're at. So please give a big hand for Valentina and Andrea from Seraphim Valora, and my co-host on AI Haven't a Clue, George Butler.
What is this? Yes.
Listen,
is this? Hello, everyone. Is this that AI-generated?
This is the one I did.
Song that you created.
Yeah, this is my one.
In a session all about AI creativity, you are really...
We had a competition who could create the best song for AI Haven't a Clue. That's the one. And that's the one that won it, wasn't it? That was sort of the listener choice.
Yeah, that was the one which won, so you can imagine what the other one sounded like. And in a session about AI creative, you're really setting the tone.
We don't really have a lot of time, so I think we should just crack on a bit.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, I'm George. I co-host AI Haven't a Clue with Mr. Chandler here. Every week, we explore this wild world of AI. Now, I'm far from an AI expert. In fact, I got called a highly average human being by an audio critic in the paper. How do you describe yourself on the show?
I think AI enthusiast, but I bring the mental acuity to the conversation.
Yeah, I laughed and I heard it.
Richard knows what it means. That's the best bit.
Did you chat GPT that?
No,
you did. Right, well, every week on this podcast, other than James's chat GPT'd scripts, we break down the biggest news stories, we answer listener questions and chat with amazing guests. And last year, we covered this fascinating story that, I mean, it properly swept the world about the first AI-generated ad in Vogue magazine. So we had to bring the brilliant Andrea and Valentina onto our show to tell us what went down, to tell us all about it. So last year, we spoke to them about this whirlwind, this media whirlwind. And we're going to chat to them again right now, all about what they've been up to since. And we're also going to kind of get into the nitty gritty of AI creative. So let's say hello to the girls. Where's the... Oh, there we go. Did you create this one as well? Hello. So we last spoke a year ago. You were in the midst of this media whirlwind. You just created for the fashion brand Guess this ad. It was in Vogue. It used an AI model. It was purely AI generated. A lot of controversy off the back of it. We spoke, and we're going to talk about some of that today. But what have you been up to in the last year since we talked about that Guess ad?
Well, people wouldn't believe, and contrary to popular belief, we have been contacted by so many brands after that ad. So we know it was kind of a controversy at the time, but it truly opened up many brands to the idea of using AI in their advertising.
We made the first AI British presenter in history. So we competed against a Vogue, a Nike photographer, and we went against her in the first TV show ever to be.
And this was Channel 4, this was the Dispatches program, where effectively you start watching the program and the reveal is only at the end that it's an AI presenter.
Yes. So basically we created the first AI British TV presenter in history, and it fooled everyone by not revealing until the very end that it was AI, and everyone, or at least many people, thought it was real up until the very end when they revealed it was AI. So that caught some media attention as well.
Yeah, it was also classified as one of the top moments of TV history in the last century.
Casually, just casually, first ad in Vogue, you know, up there with the top echelons of TV history. The fashion industry is a really surprising one here, because I think a lot of people would say they may be a little bit more adverse to risk. Like, in terms of control, they want total control. Like, there must be easier sectors to kind of done this with. But the fact that you've got other brands kind of keying up to do it is, just sort of talk us through it, how easy it's been.
I guess it's easier for us in a way because we're both architects. So for us, it came naturally to...
So that was your background, right? You studied architecture.
So we studied architecture and work in architecture. So we have this good taste when it comes to not just architecture, but also fashion and other things. And naturally, when we started, we actually wanted to create jewelry. And we advertised using AI. And that's when we caught attention of so many brands wanting to do the same for their companies.
Yeah, so we started selling jewelry and we wanted to market our own jewelry. We were solving our own problem. We had no budget, we finalized university, and then we thought, how can we utilize our skills to do this? And then Wall Street Journal contacted us after 3 months. And then after that, we went viral, and then we were put on the map.
So, I mean, the reason you've gone viral in a way is because the work's incredible. Mm. If it wasn't, there wouldn't be this discussion. We're seeing some of your models. It's amazing. When you came on the show, we touched upon a few of the points of, I guess, controversy in the work that you create. So I want to get into a little bit, because you had some really interesting kind of counterpoints and I guess slightly alternate views on these topics. So firstly, your work is unquestionably taking away real roles from models and from photographers, from producers. How does that sit with you?
Well, I wouldn't say truly that we do that, because so far, and also when we worked with guests, we work with their entire team of stylists, we work with all of their marketing team, and this happens all the time. So we truly, at the beginning of every project, also have a photo shoot in real life to photograph the product. So really, they're not going out of business in this way. Mm. People, first of all, have a choice to do the photo shoot in real life or do it with us. But the studios, they're not putting them out of business, because that's the first stage of our project where we photograph the item.
You're not replacing that.
And also, what about the opportunity we're creating for other types of designers? Yeah. We're architects and we're placing Vogue. How often do you hear that? It's mostly very well-known photographers that achieve that. So we see it as an opportunity to open new opportunities for young people also to be part of these magazines, but also to be put in, you know, billboards and everywhere, really. So it's not only about taking away jobs, but the opportunity we're creating as well.
And you touched upon there, you know, brands are choosing you over that traditional route. Is that purely a cost-saving thing, or is there more to it than that?
Let's give you a case study. This brand that you see here, she has tried before working with us to have a real photo shoot in a studio, which failed entirely because she couldn't afford a real fashion photographer.
Right.
And then tried to go on location and have photos done in location, but their problems came in. She couldn't get a stylist that was good enough. She couldn't get the jewelry that were necessary to bring her clothes into the spotlight. So, and then she tried another AI artist, and again, it failed because they didn't have the skills to create the accuracy we're doing.
Yeah, so there are so many issues when it comes to photo shoots. There is also permissions that you need to get. Also cost saving. If you want to do a photo shoot and compete against, let's say, Chanel or Prada or like high-end brands, and you're starting up, how are you going to do that? And if you have the opportunity to do that, why not utilize it? So there is this fallacy that it's bad quality or it's fake looking, but in reality is that the quality is so good now, there is no way to tell.
I think in a world where people feel like they're more attuned to... There's that very brilliant example. Someone posted a Monet picture and said, oh, AI created this. Tell me what's wrong with it. The comments are wild. And then it turns out it's not. It's actually a perfect Monet. And everyone's saying, oh, well, no, this is slop. In a kind of world where we've got this, I mean, this stuff is incredible.
I think that is one of the points here in which there is controversy in that, you know, they are incredible. You can't tell, mostly, that they are.
You can't tell.
That's what I'm saying. You cannot tell. Yeah. That is not AI generated. The work you do is flawless. But, and I think one of the points of, I guess, issue that some people take is your models are perfect. I mean, they're not just gorgeous, they're almost perfect.
Well, that's a selling point. And actually, I don't know if you know, but we were asked to collaborate with New York Fashion Week. And when we went there, we spoke with so many owners of brands that we all shop from, and they said that they only sell products if the model looks perfectly tall and skinny and beautiful. So this is something that they analyzed in the consumer.
And it's also not our job to tell the customer what they want. So if a customer wants a specific model or specific features, a specific body type, we do that. At the end, we're only a tool. It's like a photographer. If they're going to hire a model, they're going to hire a model based on the aesthetic of the brand. So it's really not on us. It's just, we're just working for them.
Yeah, I get that you are providing a service to the client. Some might say, however, that it's, I suppose, contributing to, unhealthy beauty standards that obviously in this world of social media, you know, the majority of people seeing these ads are going to be younger females. Do you feel you have a responsibility to be providing, you know, AI models that look different and aren't all kind of this perfect creation?
So truly, yes, we did this test because we are women ourselves and we try to relate, but we tried to post some types of beauty that felt less glamorous. Mm. And the results went from 40,000 likes on a post to 600,000 likes. No, 600.
600. 40,000 for the beautiful, what you would define as beautiful.
Yeah. To 600.
People don't engage with it. So we are just responding to what people say. We have to act as a business. So a business just does what people respond to, and then we act accordingly. The beauty industry has done this for centuries. We're just pretty much doing the same that they are doing. So
you're not putting a judgment call on it. The brand is asking you to do it, and that's what you're fulfilling.
If they come and they ask for like certain beauty, of course we do that. We have done it. We have done it for skincare brands, for different fashion brands, every type of beauty.
Because I know you've got like a portfolio of models. Is there kind of a bit of a range in how they look in terms of when you go to a client and say, here are our AI models?
We actually customize the models according to the client's brand, and that's a benefit of AI because they get to represent their brand exactly how they imagine it, so they can just create their own model the way they envision it.
Yeah, that's also why we did AI implementation. So we now have an AI implementation program where we teach companies how to use AI in-house. And that was a big thing because we wanted a lot of control over, for example, the way the model looked, the way the products were displayed. So we started pivoting into more doing that because we were interested in having a lot of control over that, those little details.
Yeah. Do you have you had feedback? Have people got in touch with you? I mean, you're both young entrepreneurs, you're young founders in here. For an industry that's so kind of closed and exclusive, it's kind of interesting that you've been able to forge your way through here. Do you see yourselves as, you know, a sort of a beacon for other people, that young people, women who want to do this kind of thing?
For sure. I mean, when we started this, we were really not expecting the results.
We were both in architecture. You're doing architecture degrees, so yes.
But we were very welcomed by the industry, and we were truly never felt like we had to work very hard once we had worked in the shadow. So when they really saw us and what we achieved with guests, then they were very welcoming.
Yeah. It's definitely a male-dominated industry. So it comes with its challenges that obviously, you know, can be sometimes very hard, but like everyone is very welcoming and they are open to hearing the story and working with us.
When you came on the show, I have to say, you really won me over on a few points, because I kind of have a view on AI's role in creativity. And I think that view's changed in the year that we've been doing the show. And I think I do now understand how it can be used as a tool and how human creativity can be maybe enhanced or certainly made more efficient. I'm quite opposed to what some might call AI slot, where something is purely just pumped out. That's what I was going to say. Because you use it as a tool, right? It is a vision. You kind of use it to implement your vision that you have for how things should look, how a campaign should be shot. So you are using AI creatively, aren't you?
Of course. Yeah. So we have a team of creatives. We have people who are handling the tech part and people who are designers who are designing these beautiful photos. Mm. And generally speaking, the process starts from photo shoots, speaking with either designers if the client has. We work between PR teams and website developers, so it's always like it's still a bit of an art. So it's not done by a robot or like AI alone.
People behind it. Yeah. And it also gives you an opportunity to express your creativity, because a lot of the ideas that we do, most people wouldn't be able to just, you know, get a boat in like Como and do a professional photo shoot. Exactly. So you're able to express your creativity, your ideas. There is a lot of artistry in that. There is composition, shadowing, model, dress, accessories, like everything that goes behind a photo shoot. We implement the same methods and, let's say, order and strategies to create our images. It's really no different. It's only the creative.
And you talk about all the teams, Andrea, PR teams. Are you sort of welcomed around the table, or do you sort of go in there initially?
Absolutely. I mean, they many times have heard about us. So when a client said, look, we're working with Seraphim Valora to do our images, they're actually quite happy because they know they will turn out beautiful.
But there's not this resistance. There isn't like, oh, no, you're kind of doing the thing we should be doing. Or
No, not really, because they can either hire us or they can work with a photographer. Like, it's the client's choice at all times. And realistically, they sometimes still do that. So, for example, with guests, we never replaced the photo shoot of theirs. They still continued normally with their campaigns.
You've worked with guests. You've done the big Channel 4 thing. Any exciting brand partnerships coming up that you can tell us about, that you can tease us with?
We have worked on multiple projects, but usually we're under NDA because they don't want to disclose.
So that's interesting. So sometimes a big brand will come to you, you'll create a beautiful AI ad for them, but you can't go out and talk about it because they don't necessarily want people
to
know that
it's... They send you an NDA before you even exchange
the first call.
Yeah, the first call.
And why are they asking you to sign an NDA? Do they not want the world to necessarily know it's AI generated? Or what's that? Why is that for?
Well, we don't really know exactly the main reason why. When you're dealing with large corporations, they just send you an NDA and it's part of the procedure. As part of it, they choose to disclose whether it's AI or not. We don't participate in that, so we cannot legally disclose everything we do.
Yeah, I think I know where you're going. Is it that, you know, some sort of cost efficiency, therefore we want to use it, but, you know, if I'm a luxury fashion brand X, you know, I want people to think we believe in the craft and we do all this sort of stuff. Apology accepted, by the way, on all of the creativity stuff. That's fine.
We still don't necessarily completely agree, I should say. What's next for this space? Because you are pioneers, you are entrepreneurs. You've done you've done several things for the first time that no one's ever seen before. And yes, it's controversial. Yes, some people love it, some people hate it. But you have been almost first in there on some really major milestones. What's next? What's the thing that no one else is doing that you are planning or you are wanting to do?
Well, with some of them, we may surprise you, but truly right now our attention is focusing on campaigns on one side, but AI implementation on the other side, inside the companies that can handle it. They have already marketing teams and they're doing the AI in-house. So their team will be taking over in how they're doing traditional shoots. Now they may replace them with AI and we can help them do that and implement our processes into their companies.
Yeah.
So that's where our attention is right now.
There is this urgency for companies now to use AI in a lot of areas of their work. So now this is being part of the conversation for companies. So most companies have no idea about it. When they come to us, they are just like, how can we make this happen? But they don't want to give control away because they are, you know, even in traditional photo shoots, they have everything done internally. Yeah. So that's why we came up with this concept of, okay, let's build workflows, like a structured and workflows that are scalable where they can plug in their employees and they can actually make their products to 100% accuracy and in the same quality that you will do a traditional photo shoot.
So we've got a room full of people that might be at brands, they might be advertisers, they might be in the tech space. What would be, to close up, what would be your biggest bit of advice for, you know, using AI, whether it's in creativity or across their business?
I think one major thing that makes the difference, especially when we're talking about videos and photos, is that you have to start with a high quality base and not let the AI do everything alone. And we see a lot of people telling you that you don't have to do anything right now, that there's automation, but that just creates AI slop, realistically. So I think human input is a very important thing that people right now want to get rid of.
Yeah, it's always the creative behind it. And I think a big part of it is also not fearing AI, not thinking, oh, we are replacing or we are doing something wrong. It's actually you're doing something great. You are giving opportunities for other types of designers to be part of this movement, really. And to be honest, it's the future. More and more companies are using it, you're just not aware because you cannot tell the difference. And they are saving a lot. Well, other companies are not, but the consumer cannot tell.
Oh, and something else. If you're a creator or a designer looking to work in fashion, actually many brands are starting to hire AI specialists to be able to help with the creation or the tech behind it. So that's a movement.
Yeah,
and just need to learn it.
Juliana talked before you is sort of the perfect example of how we've got someone in-house. We've heard it again and again today. You know, what you put in is effectively what you're going to get out. Yeah. If you're just bashing in crap prompts, then you're going to get crap stuff out. Thank you very much for coming and talking to us today.
You.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much.
Stay here. Stay.